entitled the lesson this morning, Organizing for Service in the Body. And first, just as a way of short review, let's look at some truths about the body of Christ. We noticed in our previous lesson some of these truths. We noticed, first of all, that the body of Christ has many members, 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. We notice that not all members have the same function, Romans 12:4-6. And we also notice that every function is crucial to the operation of the body, 1 Corinthians 12:21-22, and Ephesians 4:15-16. So when we see all of these things put together, then we understand how important it is to deal with the challenge of getting everyone involved. We want everyone to feel like they're part of the congregation. We want everyone to feel like they are doing something that's useful in the kingdom of God. We want everyone to have a role to fill, have a job to do. Even if it's not every day or even every week, some of these jobs that need to be done may only be once every 6 months. But we need to have somebody that's ready and able to do those jobs when they need to be done. Here are the challenges that we face. First of all, to be aware of different ways that members can serve in the body. We're going to tackle that today. We're going to see some different ways that we can serve. Then second, to encourage members to develop those functions that best suit their abilities and desires, and to give them opportunities to serve. You see, it doesn't matter if somebody wants to do something, if they're never given the opportunity, they're still not involved. And if they're never given the opportunity to tell how they can or would like to serve, then they're never able to serve. So we want to encourage people to serve. It doesn't matter how many jobs we have available, if nobody wants that job, it still doesn't get done. So we want to find a job for everybody, and we want to find everybody for a job, for the jobs that we have. But then third, we also want to provide some direction and opportunity for those willing and prepared to serve in their different functions. And I want us to notice two words in that statement. Willing and prepared. Just because you want to do something does not mean you're prepared to do it. There may be somebody that wants to teach a class, but they're not prepared to teach a class. They need to get prepared before they can fill that role. There may be a man who wants to lead in the worship in some way, but they're not faithful in even coming to worship. You've got to prepare yourself to fulfill these roles. Then again, there may be somebody who is very well prepared, but for some reason or another, they're not willing to do that job. See, those two things, willing and prepared, they're both very important. Communication and organization are the key. The reason that many times one or two people are doing most of the jobs that need to be done is because there has been a combination lacking. There hasn't been communication to all of the members about what needs to be done, and there hasn't been an organization of the members to do that work that needs to be done. As I was going through the files, I found from 20 years ago, some sheets very similar to the one that I handed you out today. They're a little different. Some different things on it and so forth. But similar to that, well, a lot of you weren't here 20 years ago, and so your names aren't on that list. And you didn't fill one out. Somewhere along the line, the organization kind of broke down. We skipped some time there, and we want to keep this up, though. We want to start now getting organized and communicating. The communication is a very important part of this. And that's why we're having these lessons, to communicate to the congregation the need and to explain what can be done so that we can move forward. Well, first let's look at some areas of service in the body. And these areas of service really fall into four categories. The first is the area of public worship. The second, the area of edification. Third, the area of evangelism. And fourth, the area of benevolence. And in all four of these areas, there are roles to be filled by men and women. Now, we know that in the public worship, only the men stand, and serve the Lord's Supper and lead the singing and do it. But there are other aspects of the public worship that women can fill roles for that. And so we're going to look at a few. Here are some sample roles in the area of public worship. Yeah, like making announcements, leading the singing, leading prayer, reading scriptures, assisting at the Lord's Supper and collection, offering an invitation like we do on Wednesday nights, and even preaching a sermon. These, of course, are the things that we know that God has said for the men to take the leadership in these areas. But those aren't the only roles that take place in our public assembly. We also have serving as a greeter or an usher of some sort, welcoming people when they come in the door. Say, hello, hey, good to see you, glad you're here. Especially to the visitors. That's an important role as part of our public assembly. Taking attendance, preparing the communion. And then someplace, of course, taping with either audio tape or videotape or CD, whatever the case may be, of taping the service. And we're looking into maybe doing some of those things. So all of those in the area of public worship, and some for men and some for women, some that could be either. Then in the area of edification, of course, we mentioned the leading of singing. I should have put this on the list. How many of you are willing to sing? That's a command. All of us are commanded to sing. Now I know sometimes, especially for our new converts, you don't know the song. If you don't know the song, listen and learn it. And then as soon as you're able, sing along. But all of us are commanded to sing. That's why we don't have a choir that stands up here and sings to everybody else. We are all supposed to be singing to God. He's our audience. We're supposed to sing to Him. And He's disappointed when we don't. So that's another role in the worship that all of us can fulfill. So let's look then in the area of edification. Here are some sample roles. Teaching classes. And there are all sorts of classes. We have everything from the adult class to the little class for babies, a year old. We have special classes like the new converts class. There's ladies classes, the ladies Bible studies. And we have the men's and ladies classes on the fourth Sunday. There's a lot of things like that. There's the church bulletin. Then there are the visitation that we do with visiting those who were absent or calling those who were absent. Of course, there's the area of Bible studies with new converts or with weak Christians that need to be exhorted and built up. Even there, providing child care for someone to go and have one of those studies. It's kind of hard to drag children along to a thing like that. So somebody might not feel able to go and study with somebody, but you might be able to keep the children for somebody else so that they can go. And that can be a great help. Of course, we know that in the area of building the church, the minister and the elders and the deacons serve a vital function. And we have those things that must be in place as well to be scripturally organized to do these work. And that's something that some of our men might strive for, to look for. They may not be able at this time, but they want to look forward to being a deacon, to being an elder. Well, some of you might want to go to preaching school and become preachers. Alex, what's in here? you keep being a dentist. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. But there are a lot of things in that area of building up the church that are so very important. And this certainly was not an exhaustive list. Then in the area of evangelism as well, writing letters to visitors, going to visit people who have visited at the services of the church, mailing out tracts or flyers, handing out tracts or flyers, going door knocking, those kinds of things, conducting Bible studies, grading Bible correspondence courses. These things, it goes on, these lists. Assisting with baptism, helping to provide child care for someone who's having a Bible study. You see, we just go on with these things. And so many of these things are not just for men. A lot of times the women say, well, it's just the men doing everything. Yes, in the public worship, when we're here together, we see the men doing all the things. But there are so many other things that are works of the church that we need women. We look to Acts chapter 6, and we see the situation there. They were grumbling and complaining. And the apostle said, look, we've got our job to do, and we can't do both of these jobs. We're going to have to delegate. We're going to have to give somebody else some of these jobs. And so they said, you pick out 7 men to take care of this particular role, this particular function that needs to be taken care of. And so they did that, and they chose 7 men. But then we see in other places in the New Testament that there were women who were doing extraordinary things. We read about Phoebe, and we read about Dorcas, and how she was making clothes for people. And we read about Phoebe is spoken of in such high terms by Paul. And all of these women who were doing such great things. We read about Aquila and Priscilla, who together went and had a Bible study with Apollos to teach him more accurately the way of God. These are not things that only men can do. There are plenty of things for women to do. And I stress that because as I look out across the congregation today, I see a lot more women than men. We need you to be involved. Even though you can't be up here preaching, you can't be leading the scene, there are a lot of things that need to be done that you can do. And we need everyone to fulfill their role. And as we think about comparing this to the body once again, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, there are some things my hands can do that my feet could never think of doing. I can write, I can turn pages in a book, I can drive, I can do so many things with my hands that I can even hold a pen with my feet. I mean, maybe some of you are that talented, but I couldn't even imagine trying to do that. But there are some things my feet can do that my hands could never do. I would have fallen down a long time ago, probably 2 minutes after I got up here, if I was trying to stand on my hands. They can't hold me up like my feet can. I can't walk with them. I can't run. I can't kick. I can't, there are some things that my feet can do that my hands can't. Are my hands more important than my feet? Are my feet more important than... No! I need both of them, but they don't serve the same function, and there are some things that one can do that the other can't. And so, ladies, I want you to understand, even though there are some things that men can do in the church that you can't, that doesn't make men more important than you. It just means that you have a different function. There are some things women can do that men can't. I've never known a father yet who gave birth to a healthy child, or any unhealthy child for that matter. They can't do it. It's not possible. Now, some of you women may see that more as a curse than a blessing, but you can do something that men can't do. God gave you a special ability. It may not be a pleasant ability at all times, but it's an ability that can't be surpassed, can't even be equaled by man. So we look at these things, and we mentioned also, we've got Brother Enlow coming tonight. You know, traveling to foreign countries, I couldn't do that. But I can support someone else who does. And so some may be able to travel and go to another place and be comfortable doing that. Even living there for years in a foreign place. Others support that work. And all of that in the area of evangelism. Then in the area of benevolence as well. course, there are times of great need. We had the hurricanes, and there were people, and they needed things. And so we were able, you know, some were able to actually go and take the things. Others were able to bring the things to be taken and provide those things to go down there to help out. And others were able to take time off of their jobs and drive. You know, we had the group all the way from Virginia that drove through here going down to Biloxi, and they spent the week helping down there to clean up and to help people out. And, you know, many others couldn't take the time off of work, but some were able to do that. So not everyone can have the same job, but we can help those who are in need. Whether it be needy saints or those outside the church, and particularly in those outside the church, sometimes the area of benevolence flows over into the area of evangelism, doesn't it? Inside the church, the area of benevolence many times overflows into the area of edification, because we build people up when we help them through their struggles and trials. But there are so many. Visiting the sick, telephoning people, offering transportation to the doctor and various other things, providing clothes and food, maybe emergency shelter or child care in an emergency situation, maybe even financial help, preparing meals, providing flowers at funerals and various other things. So there are many things in these areas. But now we want to look to this member involvement survey that you have. This is a form for us as members to fill out. There's a space for your name, the date, your phone number, and your address. Please, please be sure that you fill that all in. Then it explains for us what we're going to do. Put an X in the box. Now, of course, if you're male, you put it under the M. If you're female, you put it under the S. And you'll notice there are some places where there's not a box on one side or the other. But if you think it's something that you would like to do now, and that you are willing and able to do, go ahead and put an X in that box. That doesn't mean you're going to start doing that tomorrow. This is just to find out what people are willing to do and what they're able to do. Many of these things, we already have people doing them. And we're not saying, okay, you can't do it anymore. We just want to find out what everybody is willing and able to do, so that we can then make some recommendations, make some arrangements to involve everybody. That's our goal. If it's something that you think you would like to do, but you don't feel like you're able to do it right now, but you would be willing to do it if you had maybe some extra training or some other preparation, then put an O in that box next to that thing. And you can see this list is as very, you know, from things in the public worship, like leading of singing, to teaching classes, to doing physical labor like yard maintenance and building maintenance, to doing things like secretarial work, to doing collecting this information itself. You know, when we have 60 or 70 people fill this out, somebody's going to have to go through and organize all the information and the data that we've collected. That's going to be quite a task. So somebody might be able to do that kind of a thing. They may be good at organizing and doing that. There are all sorts of things on here. All kinds of things. If you can't find something on this list that you can do, then you think real hard and see if you're alive. Because I guarantee you, there is something on here for everyone. There is something. If nothing else, you know, we got assist with the bulletin and mailing the bulletin and mailing the house to house. Man, if you can peel a stamp off of the page and stick it in a square, you can do that. Okay, my son's 4 years old. He can do that. So, you know, you're going to find something on here that you're able to do. Now, if you're unwilling to do anything on here, then you need to check your attitude. Alex and I were talking yesterday. He said, we need to get the right mindset in the church. And you remember Kennedy made his famous speech. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And we need to have that kind of attitude for the church. Don't ask what can the church do for me. Ask what can I do for the church. What am I willing to do for the church? The church has already done so much for all of us. It's provided a place for us to come together and worship God. It has already been responsible for bringing the gospel to us that saved our soul. What more do we want it to do for us? We need to start doing for God and doing for the church. And so we need to think about that. Now, there are a lot of things on there. And some, we've got even things like artistic type work, making a bulletin board, or decorating a classroom. Those kinds of things that some people can do and others cannot. So this form is for everyone to fill out. Please fill it out as soon as you can. Either put it in the box in the back, or give it to me, and then we'll try to find somebody to help us arrange and compile all of this information. But we'll take all of this information, then we'll start to organize based on what you're willing and able to do to find jobs for everyone. Now that means, some of you may have been doing some of these jobs that are on here, and maybe you've been doing it for the past 10 years. If you like it, well, mark that on it, but maybe you're ready for a break. Maybe you want to try something different. Maybe you think, well, I've been doing that for a long time. Let me try this over here. But even whatever you'd be willing to, you don't have to just put one X on there. Fill out in every area that you would like to do that, put a mark there. Because we want you to be as involved in as many different activities and as many different areas as you possibly can. So go ahead and be working on that whenever you have the time. But don't entirely ignore me, because we're going to be looking at a few other things. Of course, we also, whenever we have a new member, then we'll have this sheet available for them to fill out. And we may need to update these at times. Your desires and your abilities may change over the years. If at any point you say, well, I don't remember what I put on it. Maybe I need to come to me. I'll keep these on file. Be sure you put your name on it so I can find yours. And then you may want to mark some more things. You might want to change some things. You can't go ahead and if they know what zone they're in. If you don't know what zone you're in, the zone list is out there. If you haven't been put in a zone yet, you just fell over here. And that's a job I didn't even put on here, dividing people up into the zones and those kind of things. But there are so many, you see this page is full. Okay, this page is full, but there may be some other things. If you can think of another thing that you would like to do, or that you're able to do, there's a blank line down here that says, other, please specify. You go ahead and write in that box, or on that line, what you would like to do that wasn't on here, and mark it, and we'll see what can be done about that. Originally, there were actually about five lines of that other, but as I kept adding and adding and adding, I ran out of space and wound up with only one line for you to fill out another job to do, another way to serve. Well, what is the benefit? What are the benefits of this survey? Well, there are several things that it does, several ways that it will benefit us. First of all, it lets the elders and deacons and any other who are in leadership position to know what people are willing to do, so that they're not trying to get somebody to do something that they're unable or unwilling to do. But also, it lets them know, it lets me know as well as the preacher, well, maybe I need to focus on some teaching in a particular area. Maybe nobody's willing to do a certain thing in a certain area, and maybe we need to teach on the importance of that. Maybe we may need a sermon on a particular topic because of the information that we gather from this. So we need to think about those possibilities. Also, if there are several who have a desire to do something, but they're not able yet, then maybe we need to have a teacher's training class. Maybe we may even need to bring somebody in who's done it for years and years and let them have a workshop with those that are interested to teach them how to teach. Our public school system and private school system and the school system, those teachers go to school for 4 years to learn how to be teachers. And sometimes we grab folks and throw them in, teach that class. And they don't have the first clue as to how to go about it. They don't know, what am I supposed to do? Where do I find the material? What should I teach? They don't know the difference between the level of a four-year-old and the level of an eighth grader, and so they may be teaching way too simple for the older kid or way too hard for the younger kid. Sometimes we need some training. It's not that we're unable, it's just that we haven't received the training. And so we don't know how to do it yet. We could do it, we have the ability, we just haven't had the training sometimes. So there are many benefits to this. And then there are two other forms also that I didn't give you and we don't have today because they're not necessary yet. We won't need them until this is filled out. The first of those is the list of roles and available volunteers. Basically, this comes into the area of collecting this information and organizing it. So take everybody, all of the men who marked that they were willing to lead singing on Sunday. And we'll make, okay, lead singing on Sunday. Here's the list of the men who are willing to do that. We'll find who's willing to make meals for the ill and the bereaved, etc. And we'll have a list of those people that are able to do that. And then we'll be able then to have this in an organized fashion so that we'll know what's available. That's right. We mentioned that earlier. We've got to be a faithful part of the congregation in order to be involved, in order to be participating in this. And then there is also the member involvement report, which is basically a way of looking at how an individual member was able to serve, the areas they were able to serve, and what opportunities they had to serve in those ways. And that would come later on as well. But you see through this that the congregation can be kept up to date of the involvement of any member, and they can also, each member, now you've got a list there of the available opportunities to serve. You can no longer use an excuse, well, I just don't know what needs to be done. You have the list, you're holding it in your hand. These are things that need to be done. Some of these things are things that are being done already. Some of these are things that are not yet being done because we don't have anybody able or willing as of this time. But we want to get somebody that's able and willing to do these. So we want to emphasize again, you know, we're not trying to say that anybody that's doing some of these jobs hadn't done a good job, so we're looking for somebody new. No. We appreciate the jobs that have been done by everyone who's been working. But we want to spread out and involve more people. We want to get others involved. And some may have been doing three or four jobs, and somebody else has said, no, they're not doing anything. Well, we may need to give them some of those jobs to ease the burden on some and to help get others more involved. Each congregation must meet its design and purpose by working toward having every member do their part in the body of Christ. Having said that, I'm going to say this as a way of closing. It doesn't matter what organization it is, whether it's the church or whether it's a business or a school or what. There are going to be some people who will not get involved. But that doesn't alleviate us from our responsibility of working toward that goal of getting everyone involved. If we're encouraging them and teaching them and training them and trying to get them involved, we're doing our part. But the individual who refuses to become involved with the church will have to answer to God for that. If, on the other hand, we don't teach and we don't train and we don't encourage, we'll have to answer to God for that. So it's our responsibility to encourage and to teach and to train and to provide the opportunity for service. It's each and every one of your individual responsibilities to see to it that you're serving. You know, there are two different kinds of folks. There are some folks that will come into a congregation and they will start looking for a way to serve, and they'll find a way to serve even if nobody told them. But not everybody's like that. Some folks are going to need some direction. They're going to need some guidance. They're going to need maybe even a little push now and again. Somebody told me once that I made an announcement, well, I need somebody to do such and such, and nobody came and talked to me. And somebody said, that with some of these folks, you've got to go to them personally and say, will you do this for me? Well, that's what I'm doing. Will you do this? Not just for me, but for the church, for the Lord. Will you do this?
What will you do?
These are the choices. Which one will you take? Well, I hope that you'll think about, not just, you know, but actually read each one and think about, am I best suited for this? Can I do this? Would I be good at doing this? Do I need to learn better how to do this thing? And mark an O in those boxes, and mark an X in the ones that I can do that already. Mark it all. Everything that you can do. Don't just, you know, pick a couple and then say, I'm not going to fill out the rest. That shows the bad attitude that we talked about earlier. We need to have the attitude of wanting to serve God as much and in as many ways as we possibly can because of what He's done for us already. If you're here this morning, perhaps you haven't been involved. Perhaps you've been on the outside looking in. Maybe you don't even feel like you're a part of this congregation. Maybe you feel more like a visitor than a member. Well, part of that may be because you just visit every once in a while and you're not an active member. But we want you to be an active member. We had 74 last week. I'd like to see 80 every week. Now I know, you know, there's always going to be some out of town and some sick and 74 last week, and you know, we didn't have, I think we may have had one visitor last week. If everybody would come at every opportunity they had and be involved, this church cannot just continue to grow, it can begin to explode and expand at an enormous rate. But we've got to work together as a body. And that's what this series of lessons has been about. Please fill those out and turn them in either in the box or give them to me. And we're going to organize. We're gonna get this thing going. We're gonna communicate better. We've been working on that this year, communicating about our financial goals and some of those things. Because without communication, we're getting nowhere fast. They say that's the breakdown of a marriage most of the time is the failure to communicate, and it's the breakdown in an organization between the leadership and the followership, if you want to use that term. So the elders are, we're working to try to communicate these things, what's going on, what's being done, what needs to be done. And we see some of that in the bulletin this morning. We have an announcement thanking those who were involved in the project that we just finished. And we got more projects coming up. We will be glad to acknowledge your service. We want to. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And we want to do that. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, either in repentance of sin or as one who is not yet a member of the Lord's body and you want to become one, there's no better time than now to do so. If you're here and you have a need to respond, may I ask you to come.